So your lesson this morning is pretty long. There was a lot in it, but it was talking about parting the Red Sea. So, of course, everybody knows the story about the parting of the Red Sea. So what did you get out of the lesson today, other than the parting of the Red Sea?
I don't know, over 2 million people with all their animals and everything. I don't know, some people said it had to have been at least 2 miles wide, pardon, for them to get across in one night.
Yeah, yep.
I've got to study in hardened hearts when he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh, he chose to do that to start with. That was his choice to put that against the Israelites. And so God just kind of like strengthened that within him. And that so then people suffered the consequences for actually...
Pharaoh as an example.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to look up the... Because in the New Testament it said... It says, for this reason, God raised up Pharaoh. That's in Romans 9:17. Since you were talking about that, in 9:17 it says, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So there was a specific reason that why Pharaoh was here upon this earth and what God used him for. So that kind of go along with when we were studying on Thursday night about about our name being written in the book of life and that manner.
But he was also given the opportunity to change.
He was given, we know of 10 opportunities he was given. So, and he was probably given way more than that. Yes, he was given the opportunity, but God knew from the very beginning that he would never accept it, but he was still given the opportunity to change or to follow after God. So,
and then passing through the Red Sea, wouldn't that represent salvation for us now too?
Yeah. So your lesson today talks a lot about how God makes a way even when we don't think there's a way. And a lot of times we get in our mind that there's just no way that it could work out, but God will always work it out. But he works it out according to his purpose and plan, but it has to be, we have to acquire that through our faith and obedience to his word. So and that's how it works out. So that we have to learn to quit allowing our old self to reign, and we have to begin to focus upon our new life in Christ. So this symbolizes, as you said, it symbolizes that transformation process when they went through, came out the other side. It symbolizes that transformation process in our life. Now you figure they were a little skeptical on the way in. They probably had faith on the way through and when they came out, but then it didn't take too long after that till what? They were skeptical again about trusting in God. So it kind of shows how the events that takes place in our life. So when we study and we read the Old Testament, we understand that God allowed all of these things to take place, and all of this was in preparation for what was to come. So, because that, the things that happened back then, the sacrifices, the everything that they went through, it was all looking forward. They would have never, had not the things to come happened, then they could have never been saved anyhow. So it had to be through Christ. So everything that took place was preparing the way for the promise that was going to come through Christ with the new covenant. So, but through the law, God provided a lot of deliverance, and you could say salvation, but it wasn't salvation like we think of today. It was salvation from physical bondage, from slavery, from which was all pointing the way towards Christ Jesus. So God then fulfilled this law by providing deliverance and salvation from the bondage and slavery of sin. So everything that happened pointed towards the things that were eventually to come. So we're to look back upon these things, and we're to see these things, that as these types of things happen in our life, of course we already have salvation from the bondage and slavery of sin, but a lot of times we still put ourselves into bondage and slavery as we go through circumstances and situations in our life today. So in John, since we're John 8:34-36, here's what he said. He said, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but then he said, the Son abideth forever. So this is kind of, when you look at your, when we look at this today about crossing the Red Sea, it was a temporary thing. God brought them out of bondage, out of the slavery of bondage in Egypt, which even though it lasted for many years, it was a temporary thing. But this is what it was for, was to look towards something that was more eternal. And in 36 he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. So we look at the temporary things in our life right now, and we don't see them a lot of time as temporary, because we feel like it's something that's never ending. But the reason God allows us to go through these things is because he wants us to use these things to look towards that, the things that are going to be more eternal in our life. And that's the way it was in the Old Testament. He used that to point people or show people what was going to come, or the things that were going to happen or take place eventually in his timing. So he wants us to understand that the freedom from bondage can't come through man. It has to come through God. So it's not passed down through time, it's not passed down from generation to generation, but it's a gift given by God and through his Son Jesus Christ. So, and if you jump over into the 1 Corinthians, he also, Paul explained this very same thing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, here's what he said. He said, 10, 1 and 2, he says, moreover, brethren, of course he was talking, you know, to the church or to the believers, he said, I would not that you would be ignorant how that all of our fathers were what? Under the cloud, which was talking about what? So he's talking about their journey out of Egypt. So he's talking about the Israelite people. They were under the cloud. So when were they under the cloud? They had the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So he said how they were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea, which is not just talking about the what we're talking about today, but when he's talking about passing through the sea, he's talking about that transformation that they made, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So it means that when he was taught, and he's not talking about physical baptism. If the sea would have came in, they would have certainly all been baptized, but they would have never lived through it. So he's not talking about physically being baptized, but he's talking about the leadership and the guidance that came from the Holy Spirit that helped them through from the time they left Egypt until the time that eventually some of them, two of the original was the only two that got to go in to the promised land. So, and he goes on down through to talk about some of the other things that took place as they made their journey through the wilderness. He talked about the manna, the water from the rock, and many different things there. So the parting of the Red Sea, see, God promised that he would bring them out of Egypt. So this was kind of, he made good on his promise, because this would have been the place that the bondage that they were in Egypt, this would have been the place that bondage would have been finalized. Because once they went through, and of course Pharaoh and his armies tried to come through, and God did what? He destroyed them. So that would have been, now that wasn't the finalization of their trip or their journey, but that finalized his promise that he would bring them out of their slavery in Egypt. So this was a big transformation going through the Red Sea, because this ended that bondage and that slavery that they were in Egypt. Of course, as they went through the wilderness, then there was more bondage and more slavery, but they got themselves into that. But this showed an end to that. So through that, then they set up and they dedicated themselves to the Lord, their obligation to him, their freedom from that bondage. So what this does for us today, it's a foreknowledge of our redemption from our slavery and our bondage of sin. And that came through the work of Christ on the cross. So that means that through salvation, we're baptized unto God. Not physically, but spiritually we're baptized. And it shows our spiritual freedom from sin. So that means that by the law and through the fulfillment of that law, then God delivered all of mankind, not just the Israelites that day, but it was for everybody that had been brought onto this earth from the time of Adam, and it continues on until even through the 1,000 years until we go on to the new earth and the new heavens and the new earth. So it has a lot of significance. The Israelites going through the Red Sea or passing through the Red Sea has a lot of significance even on our life today spiritually. Okay, Exodus. We'll try to get through some of these verses. Like I said, they give you a lot. They should break this up into two or three weeks instead of giving it to you all at once. But in Exodus chapter 14, they start with verse 10. It said, "When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and what? Worldly fear." We talk about worldly fear all the time. So they were sore afraid, and they cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt?" And they asked the question, "Why did you take us away to die in the wilderness?" We weren't dying in Egypt. Maybe natural causes, or they didn't look at their bondage, but a lot of them probably died from the torture and stuff from their bondage. But anyhow, "Wherefore hast thou dwelt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you, saying, leave us alone?" If you remember, when Moses was going to bring them out, they didn't really want to go. He said, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." So it shows what?
Fear when they should have been afraid.
Most of them that was complaining, it wasn't Israel, it was them people went with, came out with Israel.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that came out with the Jewish people. But it shows what happens when worldly fear begins to take over our life, and that causes a panic. And when that begins to happen, then our focus shifts from God to how are we going to fix it. So there's a loss of faith and a loss of trust in God, which causes us to lose sight of the things that God had been doing for us all along. So it was a big thing that God brought them out of Egypt. They didn't have to go through the plagues, but they've done forgot about all that. By the time they got to the Red Sea and Pharaoh started and the army started coming, then they done forgot about all that. So now it's just like starting over again. And I think sometimes in our life when we go through trials and tribulations and different things and God gets us through them and we're so thankful, and then when the next one comes along, we done forgot about that one because now we're back in the same place again. We're worldly fears taking over. We don't know what's going to happen to us. So that shows they remained in that bondage and that slavery until they got across the Red Sea. They remained in that physical, even though they had left Egypt, they were still in that bondage and slavery. It didn't end until they got through the Red Sea, and then it all changed. Now it went from a worldly physical bondage of slavery to now they're finding themselves in a lot of spiritual bondage and slavery. And that's what we find ourselves in today, that if we don't have confidence in Christ to help us to overcome the worldly fear, then we're automatically like they were. Well, just let us go back to where we were comfortable. We might have been miserable, but we were comfortable. So, and that's what God wants to keep us out of in our life in Christ. He knows, he tries to take us out of those places in our life, but a lot of times we still want to go right back into them because that's what we're familiar with. We're used to that. We're, even though it's displeasing, even though we really didn't like it, we're kind of used to it. So for some people, that's better than something new coming up against them in their life. So God wants to get us. He doesn't want us to be miserable in our life in Him, but He does know that as He moves us forward, we're still going to face things in our life that's going to cause panic, that's going to cause fear, and it's going to cause us to forget about the things that God has been doing for us all along, the goodness of God. So we have to learn that when we, as we live for Christ, that we have to learn that when He wants to move us into things different in our life, that what's the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me my strength. So, and that's what He wants us to see.
Just like the Israelites, we probably do more complaining than anything else.
And that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, things are going to happen, but God doesn't want us to focus on the things that are happening. He wants us to turn those things over to Him and let Him take care of those things in our life. And Satan knows what it takes to get us to that spot in our life. He knows what it takes.
I don't think the Israelites got to explain so quick that we can.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we know from reading and studying, and we know where our future is. But a lot of times, when we get into these places, just like they did, we tend to forget that from time to time, and until God reminds us through His Word that where our future with him lies. So in verse 13 he says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." So this is the same way with the when we're saved. That sinfulness, he said we don't have to, he takes that away then forever. That it's gone. But he says, "Because the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? But talk to the children of Israel and tell them it's time to move. It's time to go forward." So he said, "Lift up your rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it." And he said, "And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." So right.
They keep running into it and then one out of it.
Yeah.
Well, they wasn't even proof. Moses told Moses, "I am that I am who tells me."
Yeah.
No, neither.
Still, that year when.
So even Moses at this point was kind of, and the Lord had to tell Moses here. He said, "Why they came to you and." Whined and you're doing the same thing to me. He said, "Just tell them, let's go. It's time to go." So we have to learn to rely on God, not on our own strength or on God. And He encourages us to do so through His Word. And you know, a lot of the things that He provides a way for, He provides a way through trials and tribulations, through situations and circumstances, through sufferings, through struggles. He provides a way through those things. But usually when those things come upon us, we forget about God providing a way. We're just focused mostly on what's happening to us. So
he probably didn't have much confidence either, really.
Yeah.
I'm dumb. I can't talk.
God would rather we didn't act upon our worldly emotions, but we would act upon our confidence or our faith and our trust in Him. If we would only realize, and it's hard to do, because we all, every day, we fall into this trap, so to speak, but God wants us to realize that it's through suffering that He provides hope. But usually we, through suffering, we don't see hope. We see turmoil and distress and anxiety and fear. But it's through that He provides us hope, which then gives us the endurance and the assurance that he is in control of everything and He'll take care of everything. No, it doesn't matter what it is, He'll take care of it. But in order to do that, we have to remain the Bible says to remain steadfast and unmovable, always what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. So that's why he told Moses. He said, you go talk to them. I tell them it's time to go. We got to go. We got to move forward. So, and then of course we see that once this happened, then they as they became obedient to God, then they left the persuasion of the world and they started through that transformation process that God wanted them to go through. So now when we learn to move forward in our life in Christ, because we understand that God's in control, and now we know that we don't have to be led astray, that we can continue doing what God has in store for us to do.
Well, the reason Pharaoh went after them in the first place, he said, "Look, those dumb people wandering around over in there, don't even know where they're going or what they're doing." That wasn't the route took when you left Egypt. They could have left and been where they'd gone in a week's time, if they'd have, but they didn't. God didn't lead them that way. He led them down the road. Knew that they couldn't go no place that way, so he was going after them.
Yeah. Yeah, if you ever look at a picture, like Dad said, if you ever look at a picture of the map of where they were going, they could have went straight through, but they went all the way down. And if you remember, they got to Mount Horeb and they wandered around the mountain for a while. And so what it took them 40 years, it didn't have to take. It only could have, they could have done it in a very short period of time. But it probably wouldn't have done them no good, because God had a lot of things to teach them, and they had to learn a lot of things. So
the elderly did not even learn.
Huh?
The older folk didn't even learn.
So yeah, a lot of them didn't. A lot of them still didn't get to see the fulfillment of the promise because of their doubt. Okay, verse 16. He says, "But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, again upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." So, when you look at this, then, of course, we already know that the Israelites, they thought they were in an impossible situation, and that's exactly how they looked at it, until God's had his divine interaction made a way. And a lot of time, and that's because of their disobedience, because when they left Egypt, God had promised them that if they would be obedient and follow, then the journey would go as planned. But they, of course, they didn't do that. So, and that's the same way with our life today. Everything that we come up against that seems to be impossible, God's already made a way through it through his divine interaction, but we can't see it because we're not being obedient to his word. So we don't see the part of deliverance that God has already made a way.
In that same step,
right.
Who raised that?
They found the chariot wheels and stuff where they crossed that.
Yeah, I have read that. Yeah. It's possible. I mean, if you remember, they had to help hold his arms up because but when they fought, when they were fighting the battles and, yeah. When he would let his arms down, they would start to lose. And so it talks two or three times through here about dividing things. Of course, mostly we think about God doesn't cause any division in our life, but God does bring division in our life, and that's the division between that is worldly and that is spiritual. That's the dividing part that we're talking about here. So God does have a desire to bring that division in our life, because he wants to, from the bondage of sin unto his offering of our eternal life. So, but we don't always see that. But that's, so this is a distinct foreshadowing of that in our life in Christ. God dividing the Red Sea, it shows us how that he divides that he wants that division within us. He wants us away from the things that will cause us to come under bondage to the sinfulness in our life, and he wants us to stay, or at, so to speak, as he said here, because he said that two or three times, he wants us to learn to walk on dry ground, which in this case means holy ground with him. So
he puts the division there, but he gives us the choice, and then that brings about obedience.
Right. So it's something that he wants for us, and it was something that he wanted for the children of Israel. But the confidence and the faith and the trust had to be there in order for them to move forward with it. And that's the same way in our life today.
Now, he could have made a command, if you do the job wrong, they'll fire you.
Sure. Yeah, he wanted them to make the choice to go. He commanded them to go. But they had to make the choice to go, and then once they made the choice to go, then he provided the way for them to go. And then in verse 19 he says, and the angel of God which went before the camp, it did what? It removed now and got behind them to protect them, to make sure that they had plenty of time to get through and get to the other side.
Because it would have stayed dark now behind them all the time. That
right.
Pillar of light right in there. So
right. So once we begin to move forward in God's purpose and plan, then that protection that was always there, now he allows us to see it, to show us that he's protecting us even from those things that might come upon us unaware. So God gives us exactly what we need at the very moment that we need it. So that means now not only was he guiding them through their transformation process, but it also shows that he was protecting them as they went through it. And that's the same way that he does in our life today. Of course, if you go over into Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about all that through the whole armor of God and what the armor of God's all about, and how he takes care of us and protects us. So that in order for us to move forward, then there has to be some kind of action. Okay, faith without work is dead faith. So there has to be some kind of action, or in this case it would have been action and reaction at the same time. So in verse 20 he says, and it came between the pillar, the angel of God, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the Israelites, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to the ones going through the sea, so that the one came not near to the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right and on their left.
The armies behind them, they wouldn't be able to see nothing.
Right.
And they probably, when they got to the sea, well, it was all dry land, so they probably didn't know they was crossing the sea until they got out.
Right, yeah. It would look a lot, yeah.
Imagine the noise that would, while water on both sides make.
Yeah.
It make you want to run faster.
Yeah, the Red Sea wasn't a very deep sea, but it was still a body of water that it was still something that they had to, that they seen as impossible.
Yeah.
But God knew it was possible, or he wouldn't have taken them that direction to begin with. So that shows everything in our life that we see as impossible. God takes us that way because he's going to create a pathway through those barriers that seem impossible to us, but only if we're moving forward by faith, only if we're trusting in him, only because that's what makes that plan seem possible to us, is when we trust in him, we have our confidence in him, we put our everything completely into him, then God's plan seems like a possibility. Other than that, it doesn't seem so possible to us.
Even though it seems possible?
Right. So God will always keep us safe as we go through hardships and sufferings in our life. But we have to be the ones to confront those things, not of our own self, but through what he gives us through the leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit. So that means we have to trust completely in him, and we have to trust completely in him the whole way through, not just part of the way. So when we read this, it's not just a story of transformation, a story of faith, a story of overcoming fear, but it's a story of encouragement to show us how that it represents our process of transformation that we are continually going through in our life, from that of spiritual death into one of eternal life with God, which we know comes through Christ, and it's free, but we have to learn to understand that everything that happens or takes place, it's according to God's timing. It's according to what he has in store for us in our life. So that means we always have to look to him to overcome those things in our life. So many times we've been in the same position. We've come up to the sea with something going on behind us, and probably the first thing that comes about is Satan uses worldly fear to make us think that whatever it is going to be impossible. But God shows us that all things are possible through him. Anybody else?
No, God told them it's time to quit complaining and praying and move on. That's the same way as I thought a lot of times. We complain and keep worrying about a problem. It's time to quit that and move on.
That's right. Yep.
But how many of us